glad there's not a lot of people here. I figured there probably wouldn't be with school vacation and everything. Some years ago, about 40 years ago, gave my testimony to different churches, and I was actually asked to give it here at New Holland, and I turned sick, and I never did give it. And my testimony and my journey in life is interwoven so much that I probably have to give you my testimony and how it all went about. So I'll do the best I can with that. However, it was pretty rough this time. It was kind of like bringing up all the old things in life that happened back up again, the dramatic parts of it. And I tell you, I feared. So I'll do the best I can. There's a verse in, came across a verse in 2 Timothy recently when I was reading scripture. It says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I like that verse. My journey. It was quite a journey. I want to thank my mom and dad, my sisters, my brothers, and anybody who I've ever get in contact with for all the prayers that they've prayed for me through the years. I appreciated that. And I want to bring in my family a little bit later on. I want to thank them especially for that. It started out at a very young age. You know, I might ask the question, why did I go down the wrong path in life? And I spent about from age 15 to 25 away from God. And during that time, I lived for myself. I asked a lot of questions. I questioned God. I questioned who I was. And I remember when I was, probably before I was 15, there was my dad had a farm, and we would have people, business people coming and going type thing, and Sharon Mennonite Church over there on the other side of Sugar Creek had some people that dad knew and that sort of thing, business stuff going on. And I remember how that one, they drove a car in there, and we were Amish, didn't have a car, but looked up to people that had cars there, or I did. And their dad went in to talk to my dad because of doing business. And as I was standing out there beside the car talking to this guy, he was a young guy, and he was very clean cut and very nice. And I thought to myself, now that is how I believe Christians should look. And I never forgot that. So little do they know, and they probably wouldn't know who I was to this day, but I could still tell you their name. And I don't know if they're still living or even going to Sharon Church there anymore. I don't know. But anyways, it did something for me. Well, it started out properly when I was in the neighborhood of 14, 15. I blamed my parents for a lot of things. I didn't like it that I was Amish. I didn't like it that I lived in Sugar Creek, Ohio, which was amongst the non-Mennonites, was not well accepted for the Amish. And I didn't like that. In fact, this you can look at the Sugar Creek, and I remember how that the Swiss buildings were, and I actually helped work on some of them, and it never prospered, and it was all because of people there that didn't take hold of what the Amish could do for them. And I didn't like my name, hated my name, Mose. I set out to prove that I was not an Old Testament prophet. And I went down the wrong road. Really went down the wrong road. I remember seeing Christians and seeing people, and I wondered, why do they do the way they do? What makes them tick? Why do they believe a certain way and then live a certain other way? It didn't make sense to me. And I thought if they did that, chances are they have other inconsistencies in their life. I don't want any part of it. Of course, I had friends that was what we did. We weren't Christians. As time went on, I became real bitter. I did not like to be around Christians. Although at times, I enjoyed talking to them and asking them questions. And I well remember asking my dad to explain to me why he believes that the Bible is the Word of God. And it was kind of fun to see him squirming a little bit, trying to explain that. My attitude was not correct in all of that, but nevertheless, I wanted to know, and some of it was because I did want to know. I did want to know who wrote the Bible. Well, we know who wrote the Bible, but who put this all together? Were those people inspired by God or not? And I was trying to figure that all out. At about 18, I went into 1W service. And I was not a Christian. And when Carl was up here talking the other couple months ago, I was embarrassed. I was not a Christian, didn't claim to be a Christian. And if the draft would be today, chances are people couldn't do what I did. But in our community, that's what you did. I always, to this day, have felt like I was a little bit of a coward because I didn't go to the draft, I didn't go to the Army or the Navy or any of that, and I took my stand with other people, some of whom were believers, some of whom were not. But I spent 2 years, and I did get an honorable discharge. But all that has brought me. Now I might tell you why I like the persecuted church. That, because of that, all of a sudden I realize that the people that are persecuted have a lot of courage and are not the coward that I was. And now I'm saying to myself, maybe it gives me a second chance to be a part of them. So that's why I'm involved with reading about the persecuted church. After that, I traveled. I traveled west. And I remember being in bars and talking to other people about God. Believe it or not, unbelievers talk about God too, and question things. And a thought came to me that maybe, just maybe, there is a God that our God, that the God that everybody worships doesn't know about. And I like that thought, or I did then. I think it was a blasphemous thought. I think it was a really dangerous thought. But I had that thought, and I tried to entertain that thinking. I was pretty bitter with things. I didn't go to church, never went to church during those years, or hardly, or not that I know. Maybe I did, I don't know. But I don't think I did, but maybe once or so, whenever. During that time, I lived in an apartment, and there were some lonely days. And I remember wondering, can I become saved yet? And I knew that the statistics showed that after a certain year in your life, if you have not accepted Christ by then, the chances are great you'll never make it. I got pretty desperate. Well, before that happened, I was traveling alone one time, and I was doing drugs. And as I was traveling late at night, I stopped at a truck stop, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember stopping there, and I said, "Well, I'll get myself something to eat." But I was speeding such a way in my life, it was kind of like checking out of reality. And I sat there, and a guy, older man, came up, and he sat beside me. We had a nice conversation. And after he left, when he was ready to leave, he gave me a track. And I remember going outside, getting in my vehicle, and I said, "I'm going to read this thing." And I read it from head to toe, and it didn't do anything for me. One night in my apartment, I had a couple other friends, and we talked. But one night especially, I was by myself. And this was about after I had been away from God, been away from Christians for close to 10 years. I prayed a prayer, and this is what I prayed. I told God, "God, you know if I can be saved or not." I wasn't sure if I could or not. Really didn't know if I could. I said, "God, you know if I can or not. But I will put a condition on this. If I cannot be saved, I would like for you to take my life and let me die." And I was pretty serious about it. It scared me. Soon after that, I decided to go home. I traveled home, got home. People had changed. Life around Ohio there was different. One of the people that I used to talk to and work with, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to ask him some questions. And he was a Christian. But he gave me a reaction that I'll never forget. So much that he didn't really want to waste his time with me. And it was sort of like, maybe he didn't think, I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe I caught him at the wrong time. I don't know. But the interesting part of that was, very soon after that, I said, "Dad, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to sit down and have one of those conversations where we would look at the Bible and I would tell him why I think it's not right, this sort of thing." He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to talk to me. And he gave me the impression by what he said that he is depending on God for his life, and if I'm not a part of it, that's just the way it is. I don't know exactly how he said it. But I went away from there feeling very, very alone. I decided I need to get out of there. I had saved up enough money to where I could travel again. So I, with one of my friends, told one of my friends I would like to meet him in Orlando. And on the way to Orlando, I did something that I'll never forget. I took some drugs, and I had a bad experience. And that was probably the worst experience that I can ever imagine. To this day, if I recall and bring that up again and go through it, and I went through this in part of my getting ready for this evening, and it shook me up every time I went through that part of it. It was a real bad experience. Not only was I not able to kind of skip reality, it was really coming on me really hard. I don't know how I made it, but I made it to Orlando. And at that time, there was hardly a four lane there. But I made it to a motel room, and I went in that motel room, stumbled in there, and I was so wasted and so beyond imagine. I can't imagine how that was anymore, other than I remember it. I pulled the covers over me and I prayed that prayer again. God, if I can be saved, I want to know. If I cannot be saved, I want you to take my life. Kill me in an accident or do something. I want to die. A couple years earlier than planned, dying really wouldn't matter because I want to know. That night, I came onto what I would call the threshold of death, and I could sense it. It was all around me. And I figured surely I was going to die. And as I stood there in that room on that threshold, I did not see hell, nor did I feel hell, other than I imagined it, seen it, felt like it, but I smelled it. It had a lot of sulfur, like the old coal mines. It was a really, really bad experience. I will never forget how that went. The next day, I met my friend. His name was Marion Mullet. I said, "Marion, I got to do something. I had a bad experience on drugs." He said, "Oh, I've had them too." And I said, "Marion, you don't understand. This was a bad, bad experience." "Oh, yeah, it's fine." I said, "Marion, I can't go on. I got to quit. I got to do something. I got to either change my life or do something." The Bible says that you cannot come to Him unless the Spirit of God draws you. So I decided to go to South Carolina. And at this time, I want to thank you, Ray and Susie, and your children, and Jonas and Rosie, your children. They prayed for me. And Noah and Mary prayed for me. There was lots of people. And my mom and dad prayed for me. Thank you for not giving up on me. And Jonas, thank you for asking me if I would accept Jesus Christ. I did. That changing to a Christian was a monumental step in my life. I can't tell you how hard it is once you're ingrained into that sort of life. You just don't do that. It was extremely humiliating. Everything I stood for, I was wrong. My thinking was wrong. It was a humbling experience. I was totally wrong in all the things. There was really not a whole lot left good of me. But I accepted Christ. I started reading the Bible. And I remember one of the first evenings that I read the Bible, the plan of salvation became real to me. And I had never in my life knew and understood the plan of salvation till then. And I'm sort of under the impression, unless you're just dumb like I was, that the unbeliever can't understand it. All of a sudden, I realized who Jesus Christ was and how that God planned that. And I was amazed at it, totally amazed at it. I started reading the red letter editions in the Bible, Jesus' words, and I was having a good relationship with Jesus Christ. a real good relationship. I had confessed my faults, and of course, through all that, and living all that life, I did things that I shouldn't have done. I had to go back to a department store one time and tell them I stole something from them. How low can you get? I did quite a few of those things. But anyways, I was having a good relationship with Christ. Satan came again. He said, "Yeah, Moses, you seen that prayer you had? You seen that God answered that prayer, but he only showed you that to show you that you cannot make it. You are too bad a person. You will never be saved. That was only God showing you." And I believed him. During that time, I had wanted to be normal, like the rest of people and Christians. Just normal life. Not no dramatic experience anymore. I didn't want those anymore. I wanted to just have a normal life. And I set out to do that by being a Christian. But here comes that accusation. And I searched the scripture and searched the scripture. Meanwhile, I decided to go to Bible school. I was 25 years old, 26, whatever. I went to Bible school, and Irvin Hershberger was there, and he quoted a verse in Timothy. And it said something like this. Paul said something like this: "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And I'm telling you, a calmness came over me like never before, and it hasn't bothered me since. I don't worry about that past. I don't like talking about my past. I don't really want to keep bringing it up. I want to talk about today. Life today. I feel like God is very merciful to me. I don't know why I'm still here. Recently, I came to the conclusion, reading about David and how that he shed blood and God didn't allow him to build the temple. I feel like maybe God wants me not to have certain things in life too. And I will say this to help you maybe to understand who I am and what I am doing. But I believe that I am to take a second seat or a back seat in life. And I really believe that. And I believe that it's my responsibility to try to esteem others better than myself. So from now on, if I don't do that and you see me, remind me. And I will try to take that back seat because I really believe that's my calling. And I can, if I do that, I can glorify Jesus with my life here, with what I'm doing the rest of my life. And that's what I want to do. I believe my love for Jesus and your love for Jesus, you can take it and love him as much as you want to. You yourself and I myself set my own limitations as to how much I want to love him. Now, there was a scripture that bothered me, and I searched into it because of my experience of how that I'm supposed to love Jesus more than some people. But I come to the conclusion that yes, during the time that I had that experience, there was quite a bit of love. But as far as living for Christ now, I believe everyone is equal and able to love Christ the same as the other person You yourself set your own limitations in that, or I myself do. So it's up to me. So again, I want to thank you all. I want to thank the church and everybody that I ever rubbed shoulders with, in that you're a part of my life. You're a part of who I am. Thank you for accepting me. Maybe after this you won't accept me. I don't know, you probably will, but it was pretty dramatic. I'm sorry, that's the way it was. Now I'd like to also say thank you to my wife. Been married for 40 years now, or close to 40 years. She knew me a little bit before I wasn't a Christian, but soon after that I started dating her. And now remember, wanting to be the normal person and not have the dramatic experience. And she thought that I waited quite a while before I asked her to get married. And part of that was to make sure that I'm going through that normal experience in life. I want to thank my children for accepting me. And all of those things have kind of helped me to see God, to see who I am, to keep me in check. There is one part that I think God is working in my life, and I think it has to do with another sort of a dramatic experience, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to leave that alone. And the reason is, it's not finished. But it'll all be good. Anna, do you have anything you want to come up and share? Come up.
Well, I'm really not prepared. I'll just didn't know whether I wanted to do this, but I decided I'll just wait and see once. But I think I will, just a little bit. My story is probably about as far apart from Moses' story as the North Pole from the South Pole. He's a North Poler, I'm a South Poler. I became a Christian at a young age. My father would take us to revival meetings. He was an Amish, odd, born-again Christian. And he would take us to revival meetings, and I became a Christian in a little church in Phoenix, Arizona. And for many, many years, I was very serious with the Lord, and I performed very hard. I worked very hard at performing, and I was scared stiff of him. I prayed, I read my Bible, I was very conscientious, but I was scared stiff of God, and I did not love him. For many, many years, I served him passionately, but I did not love him. And then, in my search for who he was, he brought a very, very pain into my life. And I think the reason he did that was so he could minister to me, so I could feel his love. And so in that painful experience, I felt him, and I totally changed my perception of who God is, and I fell in love with him. And it has forever given me joy and happiness in serving him. And I do think that is, if Satan cannot get you to go on the rebellious path that Moses took, he wants us to take the performance path, anything to keep us from loving God. And so that's my short story, and I just thank him for his deliverance and his peace and his joy in letting me be his child. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. one thing that I failed to mention yet that I should have mentioned. When I became saved, became a Christian, it wasn't anybody's fault the way I did, but my own. I wish today we would see more people in the world admit their wrongs. Having admitted my wrongs and having admitted how low I was has given me a lot of hope. It's a wonderful experience to be close to Christ, and I wouldn't take it for anything. Dismiss the children. At this time, there's children can be excused.